I love missions trips. Several reasons. So privileged to be a part of a church that sends their people. Number one, it makes a difference in the heart of people we go to see. To see their heart moved. It's important. Go to encourage a pastor. Somebody's behind them. A missionary. That's encouraging. You can see that with Eric, our missionary. We talked about their call. We talked about Eric was an IT person here with Verizon. And how Eric and Holly met, were married. How they decided to go to missions because they went on a trip to India and saw the need. Then I think about all of the world we've been. 30-something trips. I can think of when it popped in New Guinea and there was a little green church that sat out in the middle of nowhere, 8-day walk from civilization, really. And no houses in sight. I said, when's church? It's tomorrow, whatever time it was, 9:30, 10. I said, well, we'll sit inside. We noticed there weren't chairs inside. That morning, the head deacon had a stick. How many of you went on that trip? Anybody here? Victor, John? Remember that stick? You just tap on the floor, and that was the next person's seat. They sat down. But what I noticed was leaves would move in the surrounding areas, and there come people out, maybe a family, somebody else, somebody else. The place was packed. We had to go outside, look through the windows. The thought hit me. What if the Allens hadn't have gone there? The hopelessness that I saw in other people that didn't come to the church, I hadn't yet been saved. In Fiji, the first service that was there, people came, the electricity that was in the building. I didn't get to go to one in India, but I heard them say that the people sat in silence. And somebody asked the missionary, why is everybody so silent? He said, well, they didn't realize he was saved and he was saved. They've never seen everybody in one place at one time. They didn't know they came to the church. And they're just amazed. But all of that boils down to just a few things. In the very beginning, God made Adam and Eve. And the Bible says that chapter 2, they walked together in the cool of the evening. And God talked with him. And that is the fundamental issue of Christianity. You see, that Genesis chapter 2 and 3 is where man disobeyed the Lord and he was kicked out of the garden. And so the fellowship was broken. And so he could no longer really talk with the Lord. And so it took the Lord some 4,000 years to send his son to pay the debt, to redeem man, to wash away all their sin. In the Old Testament, they would offer a lamb as a sacrifice to cover up sin. You know, the atonement, the process over several thousand years. But he promised in Genesis 12, I'm going to send a Messiah. I'm going to send one, the perfect lamb. He's going to wash away all the sin. And that's really the story. But for all these years, God has been trying to make a way that you and I could walk with him again. That's what was lost. God is not necessarily interested in these buildings. He's interested in you. He's interested in you talking with him. So this morning, I'm going to give you 4 W's of prayer. Number one, what is prayer? Well, by definition, it's talking to the Lord. You know, most people don't know how to talk to the Lord. A little story about a godless seaman was looking, going on a fishing trip. A storm came up and they were threatened to sink. His companions begged him to offer up a prayer. Saying it was years since he had prayed or entered a church. Would you please pray? And this is a lot of the world's prayers. Okay. Oh, Lord, I have not asked anything from you for the 15 years. And if you'll deliver us out of this storm and bring us home safely, I promise you I'll not bother you for another 15 years. That's a lot of people like that. God didn't send his son that it would be 15 years in between conversations. Prayer is why, is how you and I communicate with the Lord. And he sent his son to restore your communication to him without interruption. So your prayers are important to the Lord. So important he's willing to give the greatest treasure of heaven, his son. So what is prayer? It's communication with the Lord. Notice in Romans, in Psalm chapter 5, look at verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. So prayer is words to the Lord. You might say, what words? Well, it's words of praise. Lord, thank you. You think about this. We sit on these pews and they had little white chairs. You know, the little white plastic chairs that stack. And we sat in gravel. The chairs are in gravel. So when you sit down in the chair, I watched a couple of the guys go like this, you know, kind of make sure it didn't collapse on them. I didn't see one person walk in this morning and look at your pew and go, and sit down. We have it good here. But I'm reminded, you just sitting out in this building is not what God's interested in. He's interested in what you have to say to him. He made you and I, he made Adam and Eve for fellowship. He made you to talk to him. That's prayer. The first thing is to talk to him. You'll see it right here. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1, give ear to my words, O Lord. So it's words to the Lord. What words? Lord, thank you. Thank you for what? Thank you I don't hurt this morning. Thank you, Lord. You know, we were on the trip, and I've been going on trips now, on the mission trip with Temple, for about 33 years, and I'm the worst injured person on all the trips combined. Would you be quiet? That's a resident plumber that's not worth a nickel when you need help. And so, you know, as I guess 20-something years ago, we were in Africa and we were building some pews. And by the way, those pews are still there. And they're not going over going like this to see it either. And the pulpit's still there. We were making pews. There was, I think it was 19 of us. And I raised up underneath the board that we're putting the pews together. Cut my head right there, 8 stitches. And there were some cannibals there that had come down from the north. And the blood hit me coming down my eyes and I'm filling up my glasses. And I said, oh, they said, can we help you? I said, no, I got it. I could just see cannibal bait. That's what I was, cannibal bait. And then this time I was on the roof and cut myself again. Anyway, long story short is I'm on the way to the hospital and I realized the privilege that I have to be able to go to any doctor here. And the lack of fear to go to the room. My greatest fear, Lord, please don't make them have to operate. Lord, just a few stitches is good enough, please. And Lord, if they got a little bit of Novocaine, that would be nice. And so we started stitching. I felt the first 2 or 3 of them as it's going through, and I felt them. And I must have twitched, but I made up my mind I wasn't going to say anything because Brandon was there and so was a missionary. I wasn't going to be a wimp. I was just going to take it like a man and not worry about it. And I felt the first 3, and then all of a sudden, I didn't feel anything else. And so I'm assuming he put some Novocaine in. Lord, thank you. I thought I was going to get a stick or a bone in the mouth and just chew on it while we cut it, while we sew you back up. I didn't think about it till on the way there. Lord, I need you. That's prayer. Lord, I got a math exam. I've done my best. Lord, I need you. Lord, I've got a bill here. I need you. Prayer is talking to the Lord in any event. Notice the next thing it is. Not only is it prayer, it's words to God, but look at the next one. Oh, Lord, consider my meditation. I didn't say words out loud, but as I'm writing there, I was thinking about, Lord, I hope it's a kind of a clean place. And, you know, I'm thinking about it, and the Lord is, and I, Lord, and I'm communicating with the Lord. That's prayer. It's not just spoken words. Janet and I are on the plane. We're at the restaurant eating, and I see her come in or coming on the plane. I've got our seats, and I look at her and kind of go, you know, she knows what that means. You know what that means to you? Come on over, let's sit down together. And we're sitting there eating and saying, we're talking about, we just talked about how good the food was. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. Or you're thinking about each other. That can be prayer. Meditation. The thinking of my thoughts toward you, O Lord. When we sinned in the garden, that was cut off. God didn't want to hear it. That's what you and I have to understand. Religion is not trappistry. It's not trappistry. We're going to go up here and we're going to offer a candle or it's a beautiful gold altar. It's between you and God alone. Can you talk to him yet? Is there communication? Is there meditation? Do you meditate on him? Are you thinking about him? Notice, not just meditation, but look down in verse number 2. Hearken to the voice of my cry, my king. Sometimes we're in a desperate situation and we say, Lord, I need you. Lord, help me. I need you. And so you and I are, you know, we're at certain times that we cry out to the Lord. And the Lord loves to help us. Notice not only that, but look, if you would, in verse number 3, I will direct my prayer unto thee. There is a definition of prayer. I will direct my burden, my need, my meditation. Lord, I'm going to speak to you. It comes straight to you. And folks, that's today why God made you. He didn't make you so you'd get a good job, live 70 years, and get buried in the ground. He made you to talk to him. That's why he gave his greatest treasure for you. That's what prayer is, talking to God. Do you have lines of communication? Can you talk to the Lord? I mean, forget if you're married, single, young, old. Can you talk to the Lord? Do you talk to the Lord? Now, notice, number one, what is prayer? Notice, number two, to whom do we pray? Well, that's a real simple one. Notice, if you would, in verse number one, give ear to my words, O Lord, God of heaven. Notice in verse 2, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, my God, my can do anything, the one that's over me. You see, that admittance that God is over me is something he's interested in. That you and I humble ourselves to him. That's prayer. And it's directed to the God of heaven. That's what prayer means. And so you and I have to look at it. Is God my king? Does he rule over me? If you're a belligerent son, he's probably not listening. If you're a belligerent daughter, he's probably not listening because he's not your king. and your God. The one that's bigger than you can do anything that you cannot do. Here, this sailor finally reached out and said, okay, God, I realize you can stop the wind. You're God. You're not my God, but you can stop the wind. So I'm asking you to do that. That's not what God is interested in. He might answer that prayer because he's a good God and he's gracious, but he's interested in your heartfelt prayers to him. Every one of us. Maybe you live in a townhome, a stacked townhome on top of another one. Or maybe you've lived in an apartment building with 5 or 6 levels to it, and you have a little flat there. Or maybe you have a single family home that's on acreage and you own 7 to 10 acres or 20 acres or 50 acres. And so, you can talk with the Lord, but the question is not where you are, it's who are you talking to? Are you talking to my king, yours, the one you submit yourself to your God, the one that can do everything you cannot do? Notice, he says in verse number 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. Most powerful one. But I want you to notice, number 3 is, when do we pray? Real simple one. When do we pray? Look in this passage. He says in verse number 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. Now, the psalmist doesn't just say in the morning. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 55 if you would. Psalm 55, notice this. Psalm 55, in verse number 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. I'll call upon God who can do anything, and the Lord, he will save me. The idea is he'll save me from this event, this difficulty. Look at verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You see, the Lord says, you can pray to me in the morning, in the evening, and at noon. Daniel prayed in Daniel chapter 6 3 times a day, but it doesn't say exactly when. It may have been 6 in the morning, 10 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. We don't know. But he prayed 3 times a day. Now, let's go over, if you would, take your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's in the back of your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want you to see this verse. And we'll try to apply this one also. Notice with me, if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You can look at verse number 17. Pray without ceasing. You know what he's saying? Be in constant awareness of your God. Let your life revolve around him. Be in constant awareness and meditation and thinking of him. Do you and I think of the Lord that way? Is our life built around him? It was for Adam and Eve in the beginning. And that's why God makes you and I. So, what is prayer? It's you talking to the Lord. Do you do that? Number 2 is that you talk to the one that's bigger than you and one that you submitted yourselves to, my King. And 3, when do I pray? Well, to me, there ought to be a time when you get up. How many of you have to, now this is a really weird question because only here is it really a weird question. How many of you have to be at work at a certain time? Would you raise your hand? How many of you don't? Raise your hand. About 50-50. I was talking with one of the guys, and I said, yeah, we're talking about when you go to work, and he says, well, my work's only 25 feet away. What do you mean? I get in my bedroom, go get in my bathroom and clean up a little bit, and walk in my shoes and my PJs and just walk right into the office, and I'm at work. I said, that stinks. What time do you have to be there? Well, I'm usually there by 8:30, 9. What kind of job is that? Go when you want, look when you want, look what you want, like what you want. I mean, nobody can see you, so they don't know if your hair is sticking all up or if you got a cup of coffee in your hand. And you look at it and say, now, what is that? That's really a job? Do they pay you for that? Oh, yeah. I actually make more money than I used to make. I'd be worried about that. Maybe they don't want you in the office. Maybe they won't have to look at you or something. I don't know. But the bottom line is, you know, I think about this. Okay, the Lord says, I want to meet with you. Morning, noon, evening, just whenever you're available. But let me just say this to you. If the Lord's not your king, it's going to be about your schedule, not about his schedule. Now, he's always available. But do you and I make your schedule around him? Lord, I just want to talk to you before I do anything else. I'm working at, before I do one thing else, before I go on the internet and check this or that, or before I pick up my phone and go here, go there, the first thing I want to be able to do is say, Lord, it's me. I need you today. Could I talk with you? Would you talk with me? And I begin to read the scriptures. Begin to pray. That's the first thing I want to do in the mornings. I want him to know he's first. Well, that could be at 5 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. That could be at 9 o'clock in the morning. The Lord just is interested in you and your attention and your words and your meditation and your heart. You know, Janet and I have been married about 9 months. Susan and I are married 43 years. Her and Rick are married 41 years. I don't want her to think. I think about her in the morning when she gets a cup of coffee and I'm gone all day. Then I come home and I say, hey, how was your day? I don't want her to think that I didn't think about her all day long. I'm busy. I got things going on. There's two important people in my life, him and her. So I want to make sure that they understand, and yet I want him to be first. So I'm sitting there, and maybe I just take a little bit of time, and I got some decision to make. Go in my office and close the door and say, Lord, could I just talk to you for a minute? I'm back and forth. I like to pace when I'm talking. Many a time I've gotten my phone cord wrapped around my neck, around my body as I've been talking. All of a sudden I looked up and said, what am I doing here? I have to unwind, and then I keep talking. And I love cell phones now because I don't have that worry now. I go in my office and you know, I can talk to somebody, not worry about it. I love being able to say, Lord, can I just talk with you? That's why he made you. Lord, I've got a decision to make on which thing here to buy for the new building, or Lord, which person, Lord, should I visit this person or this person tonight? Lord, who's the one closest that needs you the most? Lord, I have decisions to make, but Lord, what is your opinion? I submit myself to you. Most Christians don't pray like that. We're busy. Could I urge you to take the when and make it without ceasing? You make him first. That simple prayer. That's what he wants. You'll thrill the heart of God. Not that you're important or I'm important, but his love for us makes us important. I don't understand it, but it makes you important in his eyes. And you're so important, he was willing to give his own son, his only son, for you. So you're of great value and great importance to him. Don't you have a little time for him? Or to come to his house and say, Lord, I'm here to worship you. Notice, if you would, last thing, why do we pray? Well, we pray, number one, for salvation. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, There's a God in heaven, but he's not your God. And there's a king in heaven, but he's not your king. And there's a father in heaven, but he's not your father until you come to him and humble yourself and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I don't deserve to go to heaven. And I'm asking you to save me and come into my heart and save me eternally. It's called being born again. Jesus says it happens in a moment of time. It's not a process. Think about that. It's not a process. It happens at a moment in time. It's a birth. You're born into God's family, and then you begin to change into his image over the next 30, 40, 50, 60 years or 10 years or 5 years, how much time you have left. We're to be changed into his image so that we can affect others. But he saves you so that you can be close. One of the reasons we got married so we could do things together. When I got saved, I could do things together with God. If you've never been saved, you've missed the greatest privilege of prayer. But number two, you can ask him to forgive you of your sins. Once you get saved, it doesn't mean you live a perfect life after that. But you can say, Lord, I'm sorry I haven't spent as much time with you today as I should have. Would you forgive me? And he'll forgive you. You know, he says, if my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, I'll hear their prayers. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a promise from our Father to us. So I get saved by prayer. I keep clean by prayer. And then I can talk with the Lord about how wonderful he is. I think most of the time we don't ever make the Lord feel wonderful. Every wife, now listen very carefully, next month, this family month, every wife likes to hear her husband say, you're beautiful, I'm proud of you, I'm thankful for you, you're wonderful to me, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me in this life. And most men never say those things. The same men that never say, you're wonderful, Lord. You're everything in the world to me, Lord. Lord, I'm thankful for what you gave me. Lord, I'm thankful for fixing my leg. Lord, thank you for putting that right doctor there. Lord, I'm thankful that you guided those planes. I don't have any idea how they fly, Lord. How'd they get all my tools on that plane? I had a bag of 18 of those batteries, and they weighed a ton. And Lord, that plane just went, shoo. I don't know how, but Lord, thank you. How many of you have ever seen a plane, got on a plane, and just got on that plane and said, take me wherever, and didn't think a thing about it? Wait till the plane runs off the runway into a ditch, and all of a sudden you hear screaming and yelling, those little yellow things fall down, and you don't know what's happening. All of a sudden, now, oh God! Don't wait till a catastrophe. Walk with him. Fellowship with him. That's what Christ is all about, to redeem you back to him. He loves you. Will you spend a little time with him? Pastor was in, I'm not going to tell you where, poor section of town, 1893. He was going to church, and he saw a little girl sitting on the front step, not many clothes on. He said, would you like to go to church with me, honey? She says, I don't have no church clothes. So the next week, he sent her a box of clothes for the whole family. Her parents were both drunkards. No one cared about her. She came to Sunday school. She heard that Jesus loved her, and she asked him to be her Savior. Her whole life changed. She could hardly wait up Sunday morning to go to church, and she went to church, and she was excited about it. And then one day she didn't come. He called the roll and called her name, Bessie. She wasn't there. Next week, called her name, Bessie. She's not there. What's going on? She went by her house and saw she was very, very sick. She's 10 years old now. She was so sick. He was afraid she was going to die, so he got his personal doctor and brought her there in 1893. A few days later, she died. And he sat down and in just a few minutes wrote this entire song. Because he called her name and she was on the roll, but she wasn't present. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. And we did that this week, guys. Now thank you for going with me. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. That's prayer. Do you do that? Bessie did it to that young pastor. Then, when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. We drove through some shanties to get to this little church. And the church itself was a shanty. I showed some of you what it looked like, where they worshiped. It's tarps hung up, and it's nothing. They're there for 2.5, 3 years. But they're little girls that you could drive by and see them side. Almost like, I wished I could go. And those little girls and little boys are all over the world. Somebody's got to tell them that Jesus loves them and they can be on his roll. We've got to have some missionaries. Pastor Elias, he said, I want to plant a church in an area where I'm familiar with the poorest of the poor, just about. And that church, when he walked in, just began to cry. And he wouldn't stop hugging us and thanking us. We were leaving. He drove 30 minutes just to say bye to us and say, how do we say thank you? Thank you. I'm just telling you, all of that is so that a child 10 years old can say, Father, and God's listening. Today, can you say Father, and he's listening? Because you've been born into his family. He'll take anybody in this room. But you have to come to him and say, I'm a sinner. Maybe you've not done too well this week. He'll forgive you. Today, don't leave without taking in your mind and heart the value of prayer and put it into your life. Morning, noon, and night. Pray without ceasing. Why? Because God loves you, and we ought to love him. Because one of these days, when the roll is called up yonder, you're going to be there if you've trusted him. Don't be there alone. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I want to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. If you need to come this morning, could I challenge you? Take the value of prayer. Use it this morning. Come to this altar. Lord, it's me. We're going to just play a verse or two, and that's going to be it if you need to come. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts today. We need you. Lord, we love you. And yet, Father, there are people that don't know you personally. I pray that you'd forgive us for not doing a better job of telling them how wonderful you are. Let's speak to hearts. Lord, maybe there's some people here this morning that need to come to you that are your children that have been too busy to brag on you. Praise you. Lord, speak to hearts this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.